All right, this is class five on studying the Bible. And let's see, in our previous class, we covered the New Testament and the Old Testament. And for this class, we're going to cover just a couple of practical things. And what do I mean by practical? Highlighting words, scriptures, passages, verses in your Bible. Using the center column references that are in your Bible and the concordance. I do want to mention some on the concordance. If you're not familiar with the concordance, then basically what it is, I might have covered this already in a previous class, it is a book that has pretty much every word in the Bible alphabetized, and it shows you where exactly that word is found and in what verse. And it gives it to you in order, beginning with Genesis all the way through Revelation. And it also gives you a Strong's, well, depending on the concordance you have, if you have a Strong's concordance, it'll give you a Strong's number that will either have a Hebrew or Greek definition of that original word, or of that word in English as it was originally defined in either the Hebrew language or the Greek language. So, that's just kind of like an overview of what a concordance is, and I think I may have covered that already before. So then, we'll just go ahead and read a little bit. The practical. This is under highlighting. And what I've got here, I just have a couple of... What I use to highlight are pencil colors. We've got violet, orange, yellow, green, blue. This is a shocking pink, fuchsia, I guess. This is kind of a reddish. This is black and red. Just what I like. I like pencil colors because they don't bleed through the pages of the scriptures. Where if you would get maybe like a marker and highlight something, it may bleed through onto the other side. So then, yeah, it could become a little confusing when you're reading something halfway highlighted, which wasn't intended to be highlighted at all in a certain color or something like that. Let me just go ahead and read before I get away from the actual text of our class. Highlighting words and verses in different colors with pencil colors is beneficial. In the very beginning of the Bible, you can make a little color code chart to identify what each color means. When reading a verse, if something stands out, you can color it. For example, these are just my what I use for the colors that I use. And you can have your own definitions for the colors that you use. That's basically, these are my definitions for the colors that I use. Purple. Purple means the cross, power, strength, victory, royalty. Okay, that's just kind of what I use for purple. Red means the blood, life, salvation. Okay, black means separation, sin, death, etc. This can help draw our attention to what the Lord is emphasizing at that particular time. I just want to open up my Bible here and just kind of show at the very beginning how I have it written down, this color code chart that I'm talking about. Let me get some of my bookmarks out of the way so they don't fall down. Yeah, it's good to have bookmarks too. Alright. Here you can see, I'll move that over there. Here you can see what I use as my color code chart. And basically, it's just kind of what I read. We've got purple, the cross. We've got red, life. We've got pink, the love, forgiveness. We've got blue, faith, hope, trust. Wisdom, for green. Orange, promise, fulfilled in Christ. Prophecy, fulfilled in Christ. Yellow, sunrise, light, blessing, abundance. And black, of course, separation, sin, death. So, that's what I have marked down on my Bible. You don't have to have those colors. You do not have to have those definitions for those colors, and you do not have to highlight verses in your Bible with pencil colors or any other type of highlighting method if you don't want to. It's all up to you. These are just some things that I've done to grab my attention of particular things that the Lord is emphasizing of Himself, desiring to draw my heart's attention to at that particular time. Okay, what do I mean by that? Well, let's say the Lord is trying to get your attention so that you may know Him as, I'm thinking of a verse in Corinthians, Christ, the power of God, the cross, the wisdom and power of God. So there you have Christ and Him crucified, the wisdom and power of God. So what would I do with that verse? Oh gosh, I'd probably highlight it in purple. I'd underline it in purple. Maybe underline it in green for wisdom, the cross. And then with that being established in my heart, then while I'm reading in other passages, anywhere where I see something of power, this is Christ and Him crucified. Something of wisdom, this is Christ and Him crucified. Something, the hidden wisdom, this is Christ and Him crucified. The mystery, this is Christ and Him crucified. Do you see what I mean? Then what I would do, I'd probably end up highlighting those in purple and in green. I'd like to show an example of that in a different Bible where I've got many more highlights than in my current Bible and underlines. This is just a passage right here, and you can see this, where it has several multiple colors on it. And I'll just read, it's 2 Chronicles. I'll just read a little bit, chapter 20, just so you can kind of get an idea. This is verse 9, and I have verse 9 bracketed, which you can see in green, and then part of it in orange and then underlined in purple, okay? If disaster comes upon us, such as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Okay? Going down a little bit further, we can look on verse 12. O our God, you will not judge them. Will you not judge them? For we have no power against them. Okay, now they're bringing in the word power, all right? We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. There is their hope, there is their expectation, okay, and there is the power. Now, on the Lord Himself being the power, okay? And I guess for this example, it would be the power of deliverance, but Christ and Him crucified is the power of God that delivers of deliverance, yes, of ourselves, delivers us from ourselves, okay? A little further down, you can see in verse 15, I have underlined, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, that is an awesome thing. See, we want to always struggle and put forth effort and do this and that and rally up the troops so we can get the victory. No, the battle isn't ours. Ours is to simply know the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. And the battle is won already in the cross. Okay, remember the power, the wisdom and power of God, Christ and Him crucified? Hey, we just need to come into this in our hearts. What do I mean by that, come into this? We need to come to see the one who remains victorious. The risen Christ, who is the life of the believer. Our life, who is victorious. Okay, our life, who Christ is. Christ, who is our life, is victorious. Therefore, I can say my life is victorious because my life is Christ. All right, going down a little further, I love this. This is, you find this first in, and you might have already seen it because it's highlighted. You find this first, I believe, mentioned in Exodus when they're coming out of Egypt. Okay, this is what the Lord uses Moses to say. All right, this is verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Wow, I'll just stop right there. The salvation of the Lord. Who is the salvation of the Lord? Christ is the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Stop your fretting. Stop your trying. Stop your struggling. And see the salvation of the Lord. The simplicity of knowing Christ. Of course, we cannot know the Lord except we see the Lord. All right. Going on a little bit further. How shall I? I'll just read verse 20, what I have highlighted, because you've already read it too. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Okay? Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. All right? Later on in verse 21, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. For his mercy forever. All right, verse 22. Now when they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. And who remained? The Lord remained. Okay, so that's just an example, of highlighting and underlining of scriptures in the Bible. And like I said, you don't have to do that at all. I lost my place there. You don't have to do that at all if you don't want to. It just grabs your attention. When I showed that to you up on the screen there, your eyes went probably to what was highlighted versus what was not. Now that doesn't mean that you ignore everything around that. No. Excuse me. That means that, like at that particular time, the Lord was, and still is, get this, and still is, reemphasizing this. He was drawing my attention that he is Christ himself. Stand still and see the Christ of God. Stand still and pray that this Christ of God may be revealed, that you might see him, the salvation of the Lord. Okay? And that's there. Just to draw our attention to that, and it is a blessing. It refreshes your heart. It refreshes your soul. As the first time you probably highlighted it, yes, you're blessed by the Lord. Yes, the Lord is my salvation. The Lord will fight this battle for me. And further on, you come to know the Lord hath fought this battle for me in the cross. The Lord hath fought this battle, and we are to come into the good of this, into the good of him who remains. Okay, so I won't go any further with that, but it is a blessing just to go over that. It's like going over notes, and we will cover notes, I think, in the next chapter or a later chapter. When the Lord blesses you with something from his word, it's always still a blessing when you go back and reread it, you know? Because it's life, and that's the key. When it's life, there's blessing. When it's life, it's the Lord. And the Lord doesn't get old. Life does not get old. His life is eternal. His life is without time, without beginning and without end. He does not get old, okay? All right. Excuse me. Another thing. Center column references. Yeah. I'll just start with that. Center column references. Your Bible might have the center column references. It is good to use these. It is also good to write in our own references. Okay? If we see that what we are reading ties to another verse, we should write the reference off to the side to link the scriptures, because all the scriptures declare Jesus from front to back. It all makes sense. Okay, let me see if I can find one. I didn't look one up earlier for the class. But let me just see real quick if I can find one. Watch, I won't be able to find one. Nope, that's not one. Just here's an example. Okay, I'll give you this example right here. I don't remember what exactly was my thought when I wrote it down, or what exactly the Lord was putting on my heart when I wrote it down, but I'll just read it and we can turn to that reference. Okay. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. All right. I circled one of their center column references, and let's see what it says. John chapter 14:10. Let's read that one. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Okay, that's an example of that. Just tying those scriptures together, because they're basically saying the same thing. Okay, now off to the side, I have 1 Kings 3:8. So let's turn over there. I was probably reading Kings at the time. Or it was just fresh in my heart. 1 Kings 3:8. Well, look at this. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen. A great people thou that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Wow. This is Solomon speaking here. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen. Thy servant, the Lord's servant, is in the midst of Israel, right? Is in the midst of the body. Oh, okay. Now, do you see where I'm getting at? In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you, in the midst. And then, of course, right there on verse 8, I have off here, actually, I wrote it in the center column references, my own references, John 17, 21, 23, 26, Revelation 1, 10 through 18. That's probably Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks, I'm guessing. And 1 Kings 6, 11 through 14. Wow. See, there you go. They are all declaring the same thing. Let's go to Revelation 1, 10 through 18. Let's see if I can get there. Revelation. I said 1, right? 1, 10 through 18. All right, here's 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and at his feet, and his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And it goes on, little verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Okay. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks. All right. If you don't know this, which you probably already know by now, but if you don't, Solomon is a type of the risen Christ. It's a beautiful search. If you want to search it out, if you want to go ahead and study that, if the Lord leads you on that search, it is a beautiful search. He's in the midst of the body. He is in the midst of the people of God. He is in the midst of Israel. This is Solomon saying this. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which represents the church, which represents the body of Christ, you find the Son of Man. You find the risen Christ himself. That's an awesome thing right there. And that's just to show you where this is the power and wisdom of God being declared everywhere, okay? In the Old Testament, it's there. In the New Testament, it's there. It's everywhere in the Scriptures. the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You find it everywhere throughout the Scriptures. It may not be so obvious to our natural eyes, to our natural minds, but when the Holy Spirit lights upon it, oh my gosh, that's exactly what John the Baptist said. Hey, I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize said, upon the one whom the Holy Spirit lands, this is mine anointed, this is my Christ. That's it. That's it. When the Holy Spirit comes to take that which is of Christ and declare it unto us, it has become so obvious. Well, it is obvious unto him, but not unto the natural man, okay? So I won't go any further with that. But you can see how you can write your own center column references or your own references throughout the Scriptures, whether they be on the outside of the actual passage or if you can fit them in the center columns as well. You can just jot down the verses and how they all are tying to show and declare Christ, okay? All right, let's continue reading here. It is good to use these. It is also good to write in our own references. If we see that what we are reading ties to another verse, we should write in the reference off to the side to link the Scriptures, because all Scriptures declare Jesus from front to back. It all makes sense. It all makes sense when you see all the Scriptures in the person of Christ. It makes no sense when we're trying to plug the Scriptures into something else. What do I mean by that? When we're trying to apply them to the wrong man. To the wrong man, let's say me, for instance. Okay, it makes no sense there. Because you come up with a bunch of gaps and a bunch of loopholes and a bunch of holes and things that they don't run together. They don't make sense. Because they're applied to the wrong man. They need to be applied to Christ. Remember Jesus said, these are they that testify of me. He didn't say, these are they that testify of the way you should act. No. He didn't say, these are they that testify of the way you should try to live. No, he didn't say that. He said, these are they that testify of me. And in the context of that, he's saying, you search the Scriptures thinking that in them you have eternal life. These are they that testify of me. And he goes, and you will not come to me that you may have that life. Okay? The Scripture, if you are born again, the Scriptures are testifying of the life that is in you. When the Spirit of the Lord, when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, shows in the Scriptures that life, the obvious response, I think we covered it in the previous class, Lord, show me this life that is in the Scriptures. Once we've seen this life in the Scriptures, then the prayer becomes, Lord, reveal this life that I see in the Scriptures, reveal him in me, because he is in me. Okay, going on a little bit, let's see. It all makes sense. All right, I put this down here. Many may object. I just kind of saw it this way when I wrote this pamphlet. Like a jigsaw puzzle. It all fits perfectly together to create a picture, and that picture is Jesus. What do I mean? Well, like I showed you with this example just a second ago, of all these verses relating, you know, here's a verse from, gosh, what was it? From John, the Gospel of John. And we went with John, we went to Revelation, and then we pulled from John, we went to 1 Kings, and then we pulled a verse from there, and then we went to Revelation, all these other verses, and they're saying the exact same thing. Do you see? That's what I mean by that. All these are fitting together perfectly. These verses, these fragments are being gathered up by the Holy Spirit to show us Christ, to present Christ unto us. Something that we cannot do on our own. Something that we cannot do with our natural minds, but the Holy Spirit does is to present Christ to us, to show Christ to us, to redefine Christ in our own hearts, okay? And I do know, I think I did cover this. We have preconceived notions, we have preconceived ideas, we have preconceived thoughts of who we think the Lord Jesus Christ is, all right? The Holy Spirit redefines that Christ to us as God knows him to be, right? No man knoweth the Son save the Father, and no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and him to whom he will reveal him. Right? We truly do not know the Lord except he be revealed. Except he show himself as he is. right? And in his revealing, we are knowing him. Okay, we are knowing the living one. Remember, he said, "I am the living one." We are knowing the living one. We are not knowing, once again, a study or a Bible search. We are knowing the living one, a person. All right, going on. We are supposed to get Jesus out of it. When we read the scriptures, we're supposed to get Jesus out of it. Let's see. So we should write in our own references as we read the Bible. Basically, the more we read, the more pieces we have in one sense. So then the Holy Spirit can start putting the pieces together, the fragments together, to show us Jesus. But the less we read, the less pieces he has to work with. The Holy Spirit works with what we have. All right, I do not mean to say that if you do not read your Bible, there is nothing he can work with. No, that's not what I'm saying. If you are born again, Christ is in you. And he is working. He is doing all that he does, which is working, moving upon what is already there, the Christ within, to reveal him. Okay? He uses the scripture as his reference, you could say, because the scripture testifies of Christ. All right? If we have no concept of the scripture at all, then we probably don't have any concept of the indwelling Christ if we're born again. If you're not born again, you must be born again. John, in I think it's 1 John, he said, "He who has the Son has life." If you don't have the Son, you don't have life, therefore you cannot know the life. But if you are born, so you must be born again. But for those who are born again, if you have the Son, if you've been birthed of Christ, then you have the life. And the Holy Spirit desires to reveal that life, to show that life. Okay? Going on, let's see, the concordance. I've probably already used it several times for this class. I use it quite often. I'll just go ahead and read the paragraph. If I could have one book besides the Bible with me, and when I thought about this, I was thinking, what if I was stranded on an island and I had the Bible and I was allowed to only have one other Bible, or I packed only one book, and I packed only one other book, what book would I pack with me? I thought, the concordance. I'd pack a concordance. And when I travel, I usually take this concordance right here, and I'll just go ahead and show it to you. This is an older, smaller Strong's concordance. I've got a bigger one, a blue one, but I forgot to pick it up. So I'll show you this one. This is my travel concordance. Yes, it weighs, gosh, about 2-3 pounds. Maybe not that much. I'm not sure. I'm not a good judge in weight, but here it is, exhaustive concordance. It's one of the older models, but I pack this along with my Bible when I travel because it's easier to open this and flip and, you know, find the verse that I'm looking for. And we'll do an example of that in a second. This was given to me as a gift when I graduated from Bible school. Brother Timothy Levine gave it to me as a gift, and I don't think he realizes how much of a blessing that was to me, because in my mind I received it this way: of all the things that anyone could give me as a gift, I was given something that would further my knowing of Christ. And that is precious to me. Of all the gifts that I received, this was to further my knowing of Christ. And you know, my eyes welled up, you know, I almost started bawling and stuff, crying when I just saw this gift, because to me it's like, this is to know the Lord, to know the risen Christ is the ultimate. And anything, any tool that we can use for that end is a well received tool indeed. So it really blessed me. Yeah. When I got that one, you can kind of find, you may be able to find these at half-price bookstores, recycled bookstores, or that's the cheaper way you can find them. Or you can find them at Christian bookstores, Christian book outlets. They may cost a little bit more since they're probably being new. This is another set right here of three. I'm sure you can, it says your best buy, you get all three. This has the Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament. This is Jacenius. And then we have Thayer's Greek-English Lexicon of the New Testament. Excuse me, they're like the Strong's, but they're different. They may be a little bit more in-depth, they may not. It's good to use both of them too. This is Strong's, and in the middle is the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, okay? This is like a three-volume set. These are good to have too. I have these, but I also have them on the online Bible program. Bible program, the online Bible. I've got that on the program, and I know that I've given the website address to that, and it's in the notes where you can click on the notes, and it'll take you straight to it where you can download the program for free. Those are there. Those are there in that program. So when I'm searching, when I'm studying, I usually tend to use the computer for that because it's all right there. Let's see, what else did I finish reading? No, I hadn't finished. I would pick up the Strong's Concordance. Okay. To me, if you look at the Bible, all right, let me just read the rest of the paragraph. To me, if you look at the Bible as being a sword, the Strong's Concordance is the handle to the sword, the handle itself. You can get a grip on it. You can get a grip on the Word. And I'll just read it because I'm going to go straight into this, the handle itself. It is very useful for doing word studies and finding the original meanings of words. Also, at times as you are reading, a verse might bring to mind a word or phrase from another area of Scripture. A concordance can help find that verse when you cannot remember exactly where it is. Basically, the concordance lists all the words in the Bible in alphabetical order. It can also give the original Hebrew and Greek definitions of the words. For one who remembers phrases and words in particular, the concordance can be a very beneficial study aid. Okay, let's do an example here. Let's see. Light of the world. Okay, well, if I had my online Bible, I would just type in light of the world. It'll bring me the exact reference. But let's use the concordance. I am the light of the world. Okay, let's just use that phrase that Jesus said. I'm the light of the world. Well, okay, you can use different words to look it up. You can use light or world. Those are the main bigger words that you want to use. You want to use the bigger words, I guess you say it, versus the of or I. Those are, if you think about it, I in the Bible is all over the place. So you don't want to use that one. Light, it's you want to narrow down your search to make it quicker, to make it a little faster. So let's go ahead and look up the word light. See if we can find it. I'm glad it's in alphabetical order. Okay, light. Here we go. So the verse I'm thinking of is in the New Testament because Christ Himself is declaring this. So I can skip all the Old Testament all the way down and look at the New Testament. Well, I'm going to narrow it down just because I think I know where the verse is. I'm going to narrow it down to the Gospel of John. So let's start looking there. This is John chapter 1, verse 4. And the life was the light of men. Well, that's a nice verse. This is verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness. Verse 7. Witness to bear witness of the light. Verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent. And these are just a fragment of the verse where that word is included that I'm reading in the Strong's right here. And I'll just go down a little bit further and try to find it. The light has come. Okay, here is the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. And this is what it says, saying, I am the light of the world. Okay, the Strong's number, mine has a little quotation marks, which means it's the previous Strong's number. is 54:57, saying, "I am the light of the world." So let's look at that. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." This is the one I was looking for. Boom, there it is. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." All right. Now it's because it, now it also shows 12, what was it? 8:12, excuse me. It shows that that Strong's number for the word light in that particular verse is Strong's number 5457. So, we'll put this down, put the Bible down, pick up our Strong's again, and let's go to the back where the definitions are, okay? Here's the Hebrew and Chaldee dictionary, which would be the Old Testament. We don't want that, so we'll flip a little further to the New, till we come to the New Testament. Dictionary of the Greek Testament. Okay. There you go. And what did we say that number was again? 5457. Okay, let's find it. It's going to be way to the back. 5457. Okay. "From an obsolete, to shine or make manifest, especially by rays." Compare Strong's number 5316 and 5346, luminousness. "In the widest application, natural or artificial, abstract or concrete, literally or figuratively." Fire, light. That's a good definition right there. I'll put the Strong's down. Let's just look at the Thayer's on that. 5457. It may give more, it may give less information. To shine. And it gives verses. Oh my gosh, it gives verses. Wow. It's more in-depth right here, this Thayer's. It's a little bit more in-depth, so I won't read all that it has. It has a lot. It has a lot. And as I said, it is illuminating power. Well, I guess I am reading a little bit. The light, that is illuminating power. It is in the online Bible and other Bible programs. Like I said, I use the online Bible because that was the Bible program that was introduced to me, and now they're not going to fit in there. It was introduced to me first, so that's the one that I use. They probably have them in other Bible programs as well. You probably have it in your Bible program if you have a different Bible program other than the online Bible. So that's just an example of searching out a word, or if you remember a phrase and you can't remember exactly where it is, the concordance can be used for that, or if you want to study a little more in depth on a particular word to get the original Greek or Hebrew or Chaldaic, as it says right there, or Chaldee word in the lexicon. All right, that's just, and even when we use the Strong's, I do want to say this. It's not so, that's not the understanding that brings us to see Christ. Okay? What do I mean by that? When we have seen an original definition from the lexicon, whether it be the Strong's or the Thayer's or the Jacinius, that's not seeing Christ. That's not seeing Christ. That's just getting more of an overall picture of what that word means in the original. It's a little bit more specific of a definition than what you had preconceived already. Okay, once you have that, that's great, okay? So it's a more well-rounded definition, but still the Holy Spirit has to come. The Holy Spirit must come and give His definition of Christ, His showing of Christ, His understanding of Christ unto us. First, we'll see it in the Scripture, and then we'll see Christ as, wow, I didn't know Jesus was there before. And then the heart's desire is to turn, to pray that that same one that we've seen in the Scripture would be revealed in us. Okay, we have covered Paul before. Now, Paul, I will say, and I probably did say it, he had an understanding of the Scriptures. He was a Jew. He knew the original language. He did not need a Strong's Concordance or a Thayer's or a Jacinius lexicon. He did not need those. He did not need all these Bible dictionaries. He did not need those. He knew the original languages. He knew the Scripture. He didn't need that. But though he knew all that, though he studied the Scriptures religiously, he was a Pharisee, though he knew the Scriptures by the minutest detail, as Jesus, you know, speaks of the Pharisees, you strain at a gnat, the smallest thing, and you swallow a camel. You don't get the big picture about the whole thing, how it declares Christ. And you're just so picky about these little things. Though he knew the Scripture inside and out to details, he himself was still dependent upon the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ in the Scripture. Once having that living Christ revealed in the Scripture, his heart is seen actually in the book of Philippians, that I may know him. The prayer becomes, Lord, reveal this one that I have seen in the Scripture, that you have allowed me to see, that you have showed unto me in the Scriptures. Reveal him in me. Reveal thy Son in me. For let it please you to reveal your Son in me, that I might know this living one who is in me, who is my life. Okay? So Paul himself, though knowing all these studies and not even having to use these books, though knowing all this, having all this knowledge, natural knowledge, he still came short of knowing the Lord. Right? So he was still dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Because truly only the Holy Spirit can give the true definition of Christ, can truly define Christ in our hearts, can truly show us Christ in our hearts. Books can't, the concordances can't, the lexicons can't, they can't do that. They can just posture our hearts in such a manner where, you know, we can turn and see the Lord to give us an excitement. So it's good to have the concordance. It's good to have a general knowledge of the Scriptures. But let that not be the end all. Let that not be the goal. Let that not be where we stop. Remember in the passage that I showed where we had those highlighted, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's always the same. We can do all our studies and everything, but let that not be an end in and of itself. Let the end be stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which can only come by the Holy Spirit lighting upon him, revealing him, showing him unto us first in the Scriptures, then revealing him who we have seen in the Scriptures in us, in our hearts. The one, the indwelling Christ, who is within, who is in the midst. Remember, beautiful verse. And then I saw the seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst, just as Solomon said, and I am in the midst of thy people. Oh, it's beautiful. If you're born again, you've got what the Israel of old waited for, longed for, was in expectation for, was expecting, was desired. You have everything they ever desired, you have in the person of Christ who is in you. And that's an awesome thing. That is an awesome thing. They looked for eternal life. Eternal life came as a person. And if you are born again, that eternal life is in you because the Son is in you. He who has the Son has the life. It's an awesome thing now to come to know that life we received. That the Father, that it would please the Father, that our hearts would finally turn, you know, and in agreement with the Father, Father, let it please you to reveal your Son in me. Holy Spirit, show me this indwelling Christ. Okay, so I can go on and on and on, and such a privilege it is. It is such a privilege, and it is such a blessing to see the Lord. To see the Lord. It's such a privilege to see the Lord. What else? Before I close out the class, I do want to emphasize this. If you're born again, you do not have to wait until you're dead to know the Lord, until you're physically dead, until you shed this physical body. No, that's not the case. The living Christ is in you now. The risen Christ, he's the indwelling Christ in the midst now. You don't have to wait till you're 6 feet under, till this natural body in the flesh is 6 feet under, so you can begin to know the Lord, so you can begin to know the blessing who is Christ himself. No, he's to be known now. Okay? And that we be not robbed of our goal, of the prize, who is Christ, to be known, to be enjoyed now. He who has the Son has the life. I can go on and on and on with this, but we're to know the Lord, and that knowing is to begin now. That knowing is to begin the second you receive life, the second you are born again, the knowing of Christ, that is the beginning. And it is to continue. Continue knowing. Even Paul said it, that I may know him. Paul didn't say that I may know him someday. No, he said that I may know him. That I may know him. His desire, I desire to see the Lord. I desire to know the Lord. Remember, I do believe we did cover this verse in Acts where Jesus says, I have appeared unto thee. This thy seeing of me and thy seeing of me hereafter. Hereafter, thy knowing of me right now and thy knowing of me hereafter. And the Lord continued to appear unto Paul. Paul continued in the revelation of Jesus Christ, and therefore he continued in his knowing of Christ. And that's it. That is the purpose for our soul. That's why we study the Scriptures. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we read the Scriptures, is to see Jesus. And that same Jesus that we've seen in the Scriptures, that our hearts would be so postured with such a desire to turn to see him in the midst, right? Because he is in the midst. So this has been class 5 on studying the Bible, and we just covered some practical things that we can do. And for our next class, we'll cover keeping notes, some more practical things. Well, actually, just keeping notes, a chapter in and of itself. But I just do hope this has been a blessing and an encouragement in our desire to know the Lord, in our continuing to know the Lord, to see and know the risen Christ of God. Amen.